Isn't that interesting that the angels, that is their declaration as they come to the earth. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Do you know it is God's will for you to have peace in your life? It is God's will for us to have peace in our life. And goodwill, or God's will. How many know God has a will for your life? And it is good. And God has good and perfect gifts for our lives. And so today I'm going to continue in a series that I'm in. And I was like, well, am I going to change it? I'm not really going to change it. Because this is what God has done for us. It's in Galatians chapter 3. And how many know that we as Gentiles, the Bible says we were far off from the promises of God. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, even as Abraham believed God, it was counted righteousness unto him. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Everybody say, all nations.
All nations.
Say, that includes me. Oh, I praise God, that includes me. So, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that was you and me, through faith preached before the gospel to Abraham. God preached the gospel, Jesus Christ, to Abraham while he was still yet a Gentile. Abraham had not been converted into the family of faith and was not yet a Hebrew. And so I want you to remember that God preached before the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ and him coming to earth. Him living a perfect life, shedding his blood on the cross, and ascending unto God the Father. That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that God preached that unto Abraham. Oh, I praise God he preached that unto Abraham. And I praise God that Abraham believed it. I praise God that Abraham believed it. It's amazing what God tells us, and if we don't believe it, it's on our head. For as many of the works under the law are cursed, it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do. So they which are be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. How many know this faith thing is real? And you're going to have to deal with this faith issue in life of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the law is not of faith. The law is not of faith, but that man doeth them shall live by them. Paul said, if you're going to live by the law, you're going to die by the law. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So Paul had come and he had taught through the faith in Jesus Christ at the Church of Galatians and all the churches in Asia Minor, and that God's ultimate standard for eternal life was faith. Belief and faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ would save Jews, would save Gentiles, it would save heathens, and this has always been God's eternal plan. God so loved the world. That includes everybody. Now the reality is this is revolutionary to secular norms and secular belief at the time. God so loved the world. In relation to the Jews, they thought that God so loved them and they thought they had a lock and a stranglehold on God and who He was. And the reality is nobody has a stranglehold on God except those that have God by faith. And so the angels, when they came, they said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Not just Hebrews, not just Jews, it shall be to all people. I have good news and God has good news for every person here. God has come to save and rescue all people. Good, bad, otherwise indifferent. I want you to think of the nastiest person you know at your work, and I've got news for you. God came to save them too. And in verse 8, God said He would justify the heathen through faith, and God preached this before this gospel to Abraham. Verse 9 says, they which be of faith are blessed. Everybody say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
If I have faith in God.
If I have faith in God.
Through Jesus Christ. So I am blessed with faithful Abraham. I am blessed with faithful Abraham. What is that? Say with me, I am blessed through faithful Abraham. For Ephesians tells us, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves. You did not earn it. I did not earn it. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the key is that it is a gift that keeps on giving. How many know that the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest gift you'll ever have in your life?
Amen.
And it keeps on giving. And so when God gave Jesus Christ, He gave the greatest gift we could ever have. And that is because it's a gift that keeps on giving and giving and giving. The reality is most religions and belief systems on the earth, they really teach this. You need to help your Savior save you. Do you know that? The doctrine of works says, I need to help my Savior save me. And God said, you're not worthy, you're not good enough to do that. Only I am good enough to do that. Only Jesus Christ is going to live a life that is good to do. And you're going to have to trust in that finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. Salvation is a gift. And it's the gift of everlasting life, according to Paul. In Romans 6:23, the Bible says, the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God, everybody say the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Have you ever got a gift? The gift in the reality is you didn't earn the gift. The gift is something that is given free. And the Bible says God did this for all. For John 3:16 says, God so loved the world. That's your nasty neighbor. That's people across the ocean you don't even know. People you don't care about. God so loved the world that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's me. That's you. We're not Hebrews, but we have now been grafted in by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God took my curse. And how many know the Bible says that we were under a curse, those that did not know Jesus Christ? Those that did not know God, the Bible said you were under a curse. How many know that? And the reality is you cannot get rid of the curse through the law, and you cannot get rid of the curse through good works, and you cannot get rid of the curse through self-righteousness. In fact, verse 11 says, no man is justified by the law. And how many believe that just being good enough is good enough for God? The reality is that is a belief system in the earth, and it's a lie from the Satan himself, that if I'm just good enough, I'll be good enough for God. And so we have self-righteous attitudes that we presume righteousness, but the Bible says something clearly in Isaiah that our righteousness or our self-righteousness is as filthy rags before God. So Paul says, no man is justified by the law. In the sight of God, and he said, this is even evident. Have you ever seen somebody that acted like they were so self-righteous, but you knew the reality of their life indicates they don't quite live as faithful and righteous as they indicate they do? In fact, in the New Testament, Paul says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it's evident, Paul says, all have sinned and all had a problem. Whether you're under the law or in the New Testament, you have come short of the glory of God. In the Old Testament, the standard was the law. And the Bible says that if you're guilty in one point of the law, you're guilty of the whole law. What a terrible thing. I missed it in one point, but I'm guilty of all of it. So it's evident, Paul says, no man has achieved the law or fulfilled the law in himself. But we know that Jesus Christ the Lord came and did fulfill that. So the standard in the Old Testament was the law. In the New Testament, Paul said the standard is the glory of God or the goodness of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so I need some volunteers. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just do it by table so I don't indict any person, any one person here. And let's see. I don't open it there yet. But you have something. And you have something, and let me get one more. And we're just gonna take a. How many have ever examined your life and realized you yourself have come up short? You yourself have come up short. So, Debbie, I'm gonna ask you for this table. What does that say? Tell me what that says.
Lucerne Farms, fresh grade A eggs, 1 dozen eggs.
Okay, 1 dozen. Everybody say 1 dozen.
1 dozen.
That's the standard. Yes. What does your carton say?
Lucerne Farms, 1 dozen large eggs.
1 dozen. That's the standard. Nathan, what does yours say?
1 dozen large eggs.
Large eggs, 1 dozen eggs. So everybody say with me, the standard is 1 dozen. How many know that if you take a test to get 100 on the test, 100%, how many questions do you have to get right? What?
All?
Oh, all of them. So we have standards here, but yet we don't want God to have standards for His kingdom. When we go buy eggs, we buy a dozen eggs. Of course, now they got the 18-pack. But the reality is we have bought a dozen eggs all our life. And the standard is 1 dozen. So why don't you open that and see what... This is your life. Ooh. You're missing three. So you're a little ways short. The standard is 12. How many? What do we miss? What do we got here? Open up. Let's see. Ooh. How many are you missing?
I'm missing seven.
What have you been doing?
Whoa. Seven is the number.
Seven. Not in this carton. No. How about this? You're missing three. Ooh. So you're just a little bit short. But you're still, you haven't met the standard. You're way short. You're way short. Okay. You're way short eggs. Okay. What did you guys have here? So you're just a little bit short. You're way short. And you're a little bit short. But the standard is how many? So the reality is you're all short of the glory of God. Each and every one of you are short of the glory of God. In fact, according to the law said that you can't mix fabric. Do you know that? The law said you can't mix wool and cotton. That's what the law said. You can't do it. The law said you can't alter seed. You can't mix seed. The law said on Sunday you can't go out to eat at Locano's after this service is over. You can't go out to eat. You have to go home. The law says you can't have bacon.
Oh.
Ooh. That's what the law said.
Exactly.
That's what the law said.
That's exactly right.
You can't even have bacon. Roger, we can't have men's meeting. We can't have men's meeting without bacon.
Exactly.
So the standard is one dozen. Amen? And the package says what the standard is. The package, keep that open, Debbie. We're going to keep those open. So whether you're one off or seven off or six off, you've missed the mark. You're a long way off from the standard. Those that are missing a few eggs, you're shorter, but you're still short of God's glory. And the truth is, each and every one of you have come short of the glory of God. See, if you're a little bit off or a whole lot off is still off. Say with me, off is still off. So coming short of the glory of God is still coming short of His glory. And God understood this and God knew this. And man had no way to fix this gulf between God and man. Man had no way. And the law proved for 3,000 years that men were never going to be able to live and fulfill the law of God. The reality is you cannot go to Safeway. How many go to Safeway and when you buy eggs, you check the eggs? How many buy eggs? I never go to Safeway. I never buy eggs. But the one time I bought eggs in my life, I guarantee I checked to make sure there were a dozen and I made sure there were none broken. Because I wanted the standard of a dozen eggs. So if you've come short in any area, you can't say that I've kept the law. And you can't say in my own self-righteousness, I've met the standard of God. If you're buying a dozen eggs, that's what you want. The law said do you know the law said even the thought of foolishness is sin? The law said that. Even the thought of foolishness is sin. The reality is God gave men 614 laws. When Jesus came, men had added to the law about 600 more laws. And the reality is, why is it so important that we understand that Jesus came to fulfill the law? He came to fulfill God's law, but not the law of men. And so the law says if you miss any part of it, you're guilty of all of it. And I praise the Lord that He sent Christ to fulfill the law, not destroy the law, because the law had to be fulfilled for salvation to come. You can't sell me a dozen eggs and tell me it's one short or two short and it meets the standard. The same truth is about self-righteousness. If you come short in any area, you're guilty of every area. In fact, New Testament James, Jesus' half-brother, says, whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all. So here's what God did. He sent His Son to show you and I what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh. Everybody say with me, weak through the flesh.
Weak through the flesh.
The law itself was not weak. The law was weak through the flesh. How many know that if you had been in the Garden of Eden and you were living in that paradise, that you would have fallen also?
Oh, yeah.
The Bible says you were weak in the flesh. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I know every person in this room has been weak through the flesh. And so God said, I understand the condition that you're in. And so here's what God sent His Son to do. He sent His Son to do what the law could not do. He sent His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And so this is what God did. He said, I know that you've come up short. So everybody at this table, God knew that you have problems. God knew there were issues in your life. And God said, I'm going to send my Son, and I'm going to send Him in the likeness of sinful flesh. And so that I'm going to send Him as a baby so that He will know exactly what it's like to live in the human condition. There's nothing you've gone through or you are going through that Jesus Christ has not experienced. And that's why it makes Him the high priest of who He is, for He has experienced all sin and pain known to flesh. And God sent His Son, and He said, I know you guys at this table, you're short. You have missed it in some areas, but I'm going to come, and I'm going to bring the fulfillment of the law and all righteousness. John says, for I have seen Him, John 1:14, and the fullness of His glory. Yes. David said, His mercies are new every day, and God has come to make you whole. And now God says, you are righteous in Jesus Christ. Amen. And you who were really far off. Really, really. I can't even imagine what you were doing the other night. But goodness sakes. God sent His Son to redeem even those that are close, but those that are also far off. I want you to think of some of the people that God has redeemed in your life that you just can't believe the mercy of God. And God sent His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And now God says, you are complete in Christ. Where you've missed it, God said, I've made up for that. Where you have faltered, God said, Jesus has come through. Jesus has made a way when there was no way. And Jesus came and He has restored all that was lost in the fall. And so now you are complete in Christ. And so now you have met the standard in Jesus Christ. Not in you, in Jesus Christ. You've met the standard in Jesus Christ. You've met the standard in Jesus Christ. And the standard is that of faithful Abraham. He believed Jesus Christ. He believed God because God preached Jesus Christ to Abraham. I just read it to you in Galatians. Before that, God preached the gospel to Abraham. And now you are, according to the Bible, blessed with Father Abraham. How many know you're blessed? How many believe you are blessed? Jesus came to bless your life. Because when we have faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we are the children of Abraham and that the blessing of Abraham would come on the Gentiles. Ooh, I like that. I like that. The blessing of Abraham would come on Stephen. I was a Gentile, but I have been grafted into the family of faith. And now I am a new creature and a new creation in Christ. The greatest hindrance to your faith is the lack of working knowledge of understanding who you are in Christ and that you are a new creature and creation in Jesus Christ. So now you're complete. You've met the standard in Christ. Now you're complete. Who were far off, you've met the standard. Now you're complete. Who are just a little ways off. But the reality is, y'all, three were going to hell. That's the reality of God's Word. You who are just barely off, you're in trouble. You should have gone out and partied with her. You're just as far off as she was. She didn't ask you. And they're both on the praise and worship team. So God's law said if you miss any part, you're guilty of all of it. So what the law couldn't do, only Christ could do. And that is the gift that God gave. Is that those of us that were afar off. And the reality is the Jews thought that they had a contract on God. They thought they owned God. Because of the bloodline of Abraham. But Paul comes along and said, it's not the bloodline of Abraham that brings God into your situation. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the faith that Abraham had. So it's not by blood, it's not by skin, it's by faith. So faith is available to everybody. Because the Bible says that God has given to every man the measure of faith. Every say, I have been given the measure to receive Jesus Christ. And so what God did is the Bible says that in the beginning the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the very Word that God preached to Abraham came and dwelt among us. So what we saw in that manger is God's rescue plan. God's rescue plan for you. who were just a little ways off. For you who were really way off. For you who just a little way off. So those of you that looking down at your nose at those who are way off, the Bible says that you're just as guilty as those that are way off. And so I praise God that He set a standard that only Jesus Christ could fulfill. And if I agree and embrace that standard, I am now as righteous as Jesus Christ. For I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say with me, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say, I'm a righteous dude. I don't know if you believe that. I'm a righteous dude. I'm a righteous man. I'm a righteous woman. God has done this through Jesus Christ. And this is the gift. That I am now righteous. And because I am now righteous, I am now set in a place that I'm acceptable unto God. And Jesus died, according to Galatians 12 and 13. Jesus died that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. The blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Whew! I'm not Hebrew, I'm not Jewish, but I get the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham. Do you know how many people know what the blessing of Abraham is? Very few. Very few Gentiles even know what the blessing of Abraham. Most Jewish people, they know what the blessing of Abraham is. So, how many know what the blessing of Abraham is? Three or four of you. I'm about to tell you all what the blessing of Abraham is. Because David says something in Psalms. He said, "Forget not the Lord and all His benefits." How many know that salvation is not the only gift that God brought? How many know salvation is not the only gift that God... He brought healing. The Bible says He brought me a sound mind. Woo-hoo. A right mind. I tell you, from one side of my family, I praise God for a sound mind and a right mind. Maybe you don't have that in your family, but... So, what the law could not do because it was weak in the flesh, God said, I'm going to send my Son on a rescue mission. So He fulfilled the law for us, and everything we were short, Christ has now made account for it. He went to the cross to restore what was missing, what was lacking. Where you missed it, Christ fulfilled it. So now He is my righteousness. I'm complete in the great I am. I'm complete because Jesus came and made up the difference where I was lacking. How many know in your life the areas you're lacking? Yes. Jesus came to fulfill that and make it capable. I'm complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. God made Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin. And He was innocent. And that is the incredible thing. Because under the law, the sin had to be transferred on an innocent animal. In the New Testament, sin was still sin and it still had to be transferred to an innocent situation. So He who knew no sin, who was innocent, took my sin and your sin. That by faith we might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. So now the Bible says that because Abraham believed it and it was counted for him righteousness, Abraham had a dozen eggs, you got a dozen eggs, I got a dozen eggs, it's time to make an omelet. Amen? Amen. So God tells Abraham in Genesis 22 something that's amazing. This is what God tells him. He said, because you have believed me by faith and you have been obedient to my word, God says, I will bless your blessing and I will multiply your multiplying. That's an amen right there. Amen. I will bless your blessing and I will multiply your multiplying. So God said, this is what. What did the angel say? Peace on earth, goodwill to men, or peace on earth, whatever to men. No. God's attitude, even the angels knew when they came and announced it, goodwill towards men. God's attitude towards you is good. Goodwill towards men. Say with me, goodwill towards men. God has goodwill towards me. God has good. This is the gospel. This is the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has good news for me. And God has good news for you. So, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for... Ooh, I praise God. I'm not under the curse. I'm blessed. God has taken the curse from me. Jesus Christ became a curse when He hung on the tree. The reality is the Gentiles, we were cursed before. The Bible says that we were heathens. That's what the Bible says. Your Bible says back in verse 6 here that the heathen were afar off from God. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, that it is written, cursed is everyone that hung on a tree. So I've got news for you. I want you to quit saying you're cursed. I want you to quit thinking you were born underneath an unlucky star. I want you to know something. Jesus Christ took the curse from this earth for those that will believe in Him. If you believe in Jesus Christ, the curse has been removed and the blessing of God has been established in your life. Amen? The curse has been removed. Praise God. I am blessed. Say, I'm blessed. You know, a lot of people won't say that. They're afraid to say that. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Here's the reality. You will believe what your body speaks, what your heart speaks, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the
word.
So if you speak God's word, guess what? You will begin to believe it. I'm blessed because of Father Abraham. I'm blessed because Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I'm blessed with the blessing of Abraham. How many are even willing to say that? I'm blessed. The curse has been removed. I'm not cursed. I'm like Wilt Chamberlain. When they asked Wilt Chamberlain, what sign were you born under? He said, I was born under the dollar sign. Amen. I was born under the dollar sign. Bless God. Say, I'm reversed from the curse of the law. Okay, I'm going to make it more personal. My children. My children. My children are not under the curse. My grandchildren are not under the curse. My great-grandchildren are not under the curse. Amen. For God came to save all. God so loved the world. So why don't we claim that blessing? Why are we afraid to say that? David said it this way. Forget not the Lord and some of His benefits. All His benefits. God told Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation. That's what God told Abraham. He told Abraham that when Abraham and Sarah were barren. He told Abraham and Sarah, I will make of thee a great nation. And they couldn't have children. Do you know what that means? That means God will bring greatness out of limitation and lack. That it is in God's economy, He is able to take limitation and lack and fulfill His word and bring greatness out of limitation and lack. Quit complaining about limitation. Quit complaining about lack. God can overcome it and override it and bring His blessing into your situation of limitation. I don't care what's broken, not working. God can fix it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Get your mind off anything other than greatness. Aspire to greatness.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Why would you aspire to anything less?
Right.
After what everything God has done for you, why would you aspire to anything less than greatness? I will make of thee a great nation. I know you can't have a child yet. I know you have not had that promise seed yet. But God said, I will make of thee a great nation. Get your mind on the great things of God. Amen.
Amen.
I will bless thee. I will bless thee. See, it's one thing we sing the song, I will bless him, bless the Father Abraham. But how many know that's a promise from God?
Yes.
God promised Abraham, I will bless thee. I will bless thee. Lord, I'll preach it to myself. They don't seem to care. Stephen, God will bless you.
Amen.
Amen. If you want to take that, you can take that. But God will bless you. That's better than what you've been saying. How many of you go around talking the way you live and the way things are going at your work, in your marriage, the things in life? And I know the economy, I know the world, I know what's going on in Washington. It makes you crazy. But turn that stuff off and start speaking God's word to your life. I will bless you. Well, Pastor, it's a difficult time. Well, if you read about Abraham's son Isaac, the Bible says that God blessed Isaac in a famine. God blessed Isaac.
Yes.
Say with me, God will bless me.
God will.
Those of you who didn't say that, it's up to you. You've got to speak God's word. God will bless me. I say, God will bless me in my body. God will bless me in my marriage. God's going to bless me in my job. God's going to bless me. God's going to bless me in my children. Would you dare speak that word? God said, I made it available. How many of you want good for your children? Then start shouting amen to what I'm preaching you. Because your Heavenly Father wants good for you. He sent Jesus on a rescue mission to bring His goodness in your life. I'll bless thee. That's a promise from God. What does that say again? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Woo! I'm a Gentile and I'm blessed with the blessing of Abraham. Hallelujah. I will make thy name great. He didn't say famous. He just said, I'll make your name great. The reality is when you have a great name. How many know when I say Tom Brady? Does anybody know who I'm talking about when I say Tom Brady? You don't ask me which one. If I say Tiger Woods, you say which one? No. So God said, I'll make your name great. Let me tell you why it's so important. I want my name to be great in heaven because the Bible says that a good name is better than riches. I want my name to be great to my wife. Amen? I want my name to be great to my children. I want my name to be great to my son and daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law. I want my name to be great to my grandchildren. God said, I will make your name great. I'll make your name great. Didn't say famous or infamous. He said, I'll make your name great. And the reality is, in God, He will make your name great. In your marriage, at your job, with your children, with your grandchildren. In heaven, I want a great name.
Hallelujah.
Thou shalt be a blessing. That's different than I will bless you. Thou shalt be a blessing. Thou shalt be a blessing, Stephen? That's different than I will bless you. Whenever you open the door, people should be blessed because you showed up. When you go to work, people should be blessed because you showed up. When you get home at night, your spouse should be blessed because you showed up.
Yes.
Don't you know when you come in the room, the blessing of God comes with you? And the reality is we don't understand this and misunderstand that God has made us and created us to be a blessing to other people. This Christmas, why don't you become a blessing to someone that hasn't seen the blessing of God in their life? You'll be able to bless and help other people. You'll be able to bless and help other ministries. God told Abraham, I will bless them that bless you. Oh, that's crazy. I will bless them that bless you. I will bless them that bless you. God said, you bless me, I'm going to bless you. You bless me, Jack, God said, I'm going to bless you. You bless me, God said, I'm going to bless you. I've partaken of this. I agree with this. I believe this. You bless me. Right now, you can just help me out right now. Here it is. You bless me. But I'm talking about blessing in every area. How about prayer? You can bless people in prayer. You can bless people with help. You can bless people with mercy. You can bless people with tenderness. You can bless people with a kindness. You can bless some people by shutting your mouth when they come in the room. Sometimes the greatest blessing is for you to bite your lip. Anybody in this room ever seen somebody get blessed because they bless you? My wife was in the store the other day and she ran into a lady. And this is what the lady told her. This is true. She said, I need you to know something, Pastor Kenna. She said, we have never been more blessed in our life, in every area of life, than since we have been at Living Faith Church. That's what she said. She's not in the room, but I'm telling you, that's what my wife told me. That's what she told her. I will bless them that bless you. Ooh, numbers. I will curse them. That curse you. I'm going to get happy over this one. You need to get happy. Because God has taken away all of my desire to get even with people. God said, let me have it. God said, let me have it, sister. Let me have it, brother. I'm telling you, you don't got to be in the revenge business. And that will set you free in so many areas of your life. Say with me, I don't have to be in the revenge business. I don't got to lose sleep. I don't got to worry about people. I don't got to speak to people that ain't in the room. I don't have to get mad and angry and bitter and hateful. I don't have to be in the revenge business. That's God's business. God said, I'll curse them. That's an unbelievable promise right there. The promise is, Stephen, you don't have to be in the revenge business. Peace and goodwill towards men. Do you know what steals most of our peace? The revenge business. I can tell you right now as a pastor, I counsel more things in the revenge business than any other area of life. The revenge business. Husbands, wives, families, children, bosses. God said, I will repay, says the Lord. Vengeance is mine. We don't quote the rest of it. I will repay. You don't have to fight or get even. Quit losing sleep over other people. God said, let me handle that situation. I praise God. Every person I've learned, I put them in the manger. And I tell God, here they are. Chew them up. I don't say that. I mean, I don't say that. Not anymore. I don't have to fight. I don't have to go crazy about other people. I don't have to lose sleep. Anybody in this room ever had a conversation with somebody that wasn't in the room? Driving down the road? On your way to work? With your boss? I don't have to do that anymore. I give those people to God. And God said, let me handle it. What I like in that is because you don't have to get in the revenge business, you don't have to be in the fear business. If you don't have to be in the revenge business, you don't ever have to be in the fear business. Because the Bible says the worst fear there is the fear of man. You don't have to live in fear. I've given this to God. I will just tell you this, that when God repays, it's amazing. It is amazing what God will do. How many know that if you truly give it to God, get out of the way? I've seen it. I've seen God make people repay me. I've seen God make people repay other people. I've seen God do things that absolutely blew my mind in relation to when God said, vengeance is mine. It is His. Do you know why most things aren't getting better in issues with people? It's because you won't give it to God. I don't know about you, but I sometimes used to give it to God and then I'd take it right back. The second they walk in the room, I take it right back. I don't have to live that way anymore. The blessing of Abraham. I don't have to do that anymore. I can live in peace. Through thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And we know that seed, the Bible tells us right here, that seed was Jesus Christ. But do you know what? God said that through thy seed, we can apply that in our lives. Through my children, people are going to be blessed. Through your children, people are going to be blessed. Through my grandchildren, people are going to be blessed in the earth. I'm claiming it, people. Through thy seed, I have the promise of Abraham. I have the blessing of Abraham. I'm claiming it. You're going to bless people whether you like it or not. You're going to bless people whether you like it or not. Get ready. You're going to bless them. You got a dozen eggs there. You're full. Get ready to go. So Jesus says, Merry Christmas. I've come to restore that which was lost. I've come to fulfill all righteousness in our lives. I hung on the tree so you didn't have to. I took the curse. You're blessed. See, the reality is when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, this is the greatest rescue mission in the world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And because of this crown, He now wears this crown. And He is now ascended unto God the Father. He's returning in glory and power. And the reality is, you need to teach your children this. You need to teach your grandchildren this. The blessing of Abraham is upon you. People, I'm not making this up. I'm just the messenger. I'm just quoting Paul. You got a problem with this, take it up with the Apostle Paul. You're going to have to deal with him, not me. And imagine if you talk to him, he'll probably tongue whip you and slap you with it because he lived through it. He was at there, the stoning of Stephen. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Oh, hallelujah. Being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. There's not a period there. There's a colon. I learned this week what a colon means. It means what I'm about to say is why I just said this. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. So this Christmas, why don't you give yourself not only the gift of Jesus Christ, but some of His benefits. I don't have to be in the revenge business. My life is blessed. I am not cursed. David said, forget not the Lord and all His benefits. Yes, this is the greatest gift of all. But David said he has a bunch of other benefits too. And the blessing of Abraham and the blessings of Abraham are one of them. And what's amazing to me is God told Abraham, in blessing, I'm going to take the blessing I gave you and I'm going to bless it. I'm going to take the multiplying I'm going to give you and I'm going to multiply it. This Christmas, why don't you take that blessing, receive it, and believe it. And it's okay to receive this gift. And make it personal.
Amen.
This year, give yourself the gift. I am a child of Abraham.
Yes.
I am of the lineage of Abraham.
Yes.
The blessing of the Lord is mine.
Amen.
I'm going to receive it, I'm going to claim it, and I'm going to walk in it, and I'm going to live in it. Because this made that possible.
Amen.
This made that possible. Teach it to your children. Can I tell you something? In Jewish culture, they teach it to their children. Ooh, boy, they teach it to their children. By 12 years old, of a boy or a woman, by the year they're 12 years old in Bar Mitzvah, they know they are blessed as children of Abraham. They know it. They know it. And we don't teach our children this? My God, this is Bible. This is God's Word. This Christmas, give yourself a gift of belief that God hung on that cross, His Son, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on me. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in the field. If you got Jesus, that blessing is on you. Teach your children that. God has reversed the curse on the Gentiles that will believe in Christ. So today I just want to tell you, the angels had it right. Peace on earth, goodwill toward man. Peace on earth. Say, Pastor, there's not much peace on the earth. I know. But Jesus said He is the Prince of Peace, and you have Him in your heart, you can have peace in the middle of a storm. He is the Prince of Peace. Peace on earth, goodwill. Goodwill to you, Debbie. Goodwill to you, Mark. Goodwill to you, Cindy. Goodwill to you. You guys, you've really come a long ways in one day, sister. Well, goodwill to you. God says goodwill to you. Goodwill to you. What are you going to do with that gift? What are you going to do with that blessing? So today I just want to challenge you. Believe in this gift and receive these gifts. Amen. Believe in that gift and receive. By His stripes I am healed. Greater is He that's in me than he that is in the world. I could go on and on and on. You know them. So today I just want to challenge you. You've received the greatest gift. Why not receive the rest? Amen? If you will, just bow your heads while the praise and worship team comes up. We're going to get ready to take communion today. Because of this, I can experience that. Because of this, I can experience all that God has for me. Because of this, that blessing is going to apply to my children's children's children. Christian, do you want to take communion? While they're taking communion, if we would just bow your heads. Father, right now I just ask that you just minister the truth of this. The grace of God and the economy of God. There was a plan from day one. There was a plan always to rescue all men. All men. Father, I thank you that we were part of that rescue plan. Father, we just receive that today. We receive that. We receive the gift of Jesus Christ. We receive the gift of His blessing. We receive the gifts. Forget not the Lord in all His benefits, David says. So, Father, as we get ready to take communion right now, I just ask, Spirit of God, that you just lead us in this. And this is a physical presentation. And representation of taking what God has done here and making us acceptable to receive this. This is a physical representation of the spiritual. Forget not the Lord and all His benefits. So forget not the Lord, yes, amen, that's where it starts. And all His benefits. And this is just a representation in the spirit, a flesh of what we're about to do in the spirit. So you ready to take communion? What I'm going to do is I'm just going to have this line come up and take communion. When you're done.